Ephesians chapter 4. Read verses 1 through 25, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through to 25. Starting in verse 1, Ephesians 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for this time once again. We're thankful that we're able to read your word in this public way. And Lord, what a blessing and a privilege it is. And we do, Lord, give you praise and glory and honour. And Father, I pray that you would just still our hearts now, and that you would speak to us, Spirit of God. May you minister to us the things of God, the things of Christ this morning that would be needful for us. And Lord, as a result of this day, that we might better know you and better know ourselves and our relationship with you. And Lord, that we would be all you'd have us be. And we give you thanks and praise in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. In Ephesians 4, Paul begins to work out the practicalities of, or some of them, of the Christian life. He talks there of the unity and oneness that is in Christ, which each believers have as part of the body of Christ. And then he goes on and talks some practical things. He reminds them that they've now put off the old things, the old man, corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And he said that we now put on the new man, which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness. And then he goes on from there and begins to work into some very practical things about our lives, about how we ought to live as Christians. And he starts there in verse 25 by saying, wherefore, putting away lying, Speak every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. He gives a negative there, first of all. He says, this is something I want you to stop doing, put away lying. And then he says, I want you to do something positive, speak truth. And he said, the reason why you ought to do that is because you are members one of another. All right, he's speaking already, remember, about the unity that we have in Christ, the oneness, the one body, one spirit, one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, all those things, the unity which we have in the Lord. And therefore, because of that, because we are members one of another, then he says we ought to stop lying and speak the truth. Because of this fact, we're members one of another. And this morning, I want us to think along this line of verse 25. Putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour. And I wonder this morning, who of us, and who could put up their hand? I'm not asking you to do that. And I've thought about some of these things myself, and the Lord's been, as it were, dealing with me over some of these issues. And I wonder how many of us could put up our hand and say, I always speak the truth. Oh, I always speak the truth. I don't want you to put up your hand. You just work it out yourself, whether that's the case. And then I'll ask you the same question at the end, whether you can put up your hand at the end as well. But to think about how many of us could say, now we'd all agree, I'm sure, just moving a little bit from that, we'd all agree that as Christians we ought to speak the truth. We know that's the case. We'd all agree that, I'm sure. None of us would say, well, I think, you know, there's room for little lies or anything else. We all agree that we ought to speak the truth. And this is what Paul is saying here. Stop the lying, speak the truth. Speak truth. If we could put it like this, we ought to have a policy of total honesty. Total honesty. But I wonder if we could say, look, I always speak the truth. Now, our initial response would be, and I'm just, you know, surmising now, the initial response of most would be, oh, yeah, I always speak the truth. That would be our initial response. And that ought to be anyway. That ought to be, without thinking about it, we'll say, oh, yeah, I always speak the truth. Of course I do. I'm a Christian. I always speak the truth. But in reality, I wonder whether we do. And so I want to just to work our way through this thought this morning. Verse 25, putting away lying. And I want us to see how God views lying. We'll already know about that. We won't hurt to have a look at it again. Exodus chapter 20. You don't need to turn there, but the ninth commandment. Everybody know what the ninth commandment is? You've got some idea now because of what I'm talking about. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. If you're not sure, check on the way out. If you haven't got it in your Bible, you need to get another Bible if it's not there, but it's on the wall there. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbour. We would just summarise that by saying, thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not lie. So God makes that a commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not lie. Now let's have a look in Proverbs and see what God says about lying lying lips and lies and so forth. In Proverbs chapter 6, and I think it's good for us to look at these things, how God views it, because it helps us to better understand why we ought to speak the truth. Yes, we're members of one body, and therefore that's why we ought to speak the truth. We ought to be in that oneness. You can't have unity if people are telling lies, can you? If someone's telling you lies, then you can't be at one with them. As the body of Christ, then we ought to be at one. But if people are going to tell lies, if we're in a family and my children are all telling me lies or I'm telling them lies or whatever the situation is, then there can't be oneness there because we're living in different worlds. And so to see what God says about these things, in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate. Okay, notice there he says God hates something. In fact, six things, yea, seven, are an abomination. So he says there's seven things that God really hates. It's abomination to him. First one there, he says in verse 17, a proud look. God says he hates pride. He hates pride. It's an abomination. And notice the next one, a lying tongue, high up on the list. God says, I hate a lying tongue. I find that an abomination. hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. And notice again here, a false witness that speaketh lies. Now twice here, he's put it slightly different, of course, how he's put it, but twice God says, I hate, in fact it's an abomination to me, lying. You say, why would God be so much against lying? Well, one reason I believe is because God himself is light. God is truth. God doesn't lie. In him, God is light. In him is no darkness. There'll never ever be a time where you and I will find in God, there was something not quite right there after all. God is, totally pure. He is light. There is no darkness in him. And so he cannot stand, he cannot abide lies. It's because it's so contrary to his own character, his own person. And so he says, there's some things there that I hate. And lying is one of those. Now, chapter 12 of Proverbs. And we have this sort of thought once again. Verse 22 of chapter 12. That's what he says. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord. He uses very strong language about it. There's no if, buts, or maybes. God uses very strong language about lying. Lying lips are an abomination. Chapter 13 and verse 5. Notice what he says here. A righteous man hateth lying. In other words, if we are what we ought to be, then we ought to hate lying also. A wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Chapter 19 of Proverbs. Verse 5 says, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. God says, not going to get away with it. It's not going to happen. Verse 9, he says something similar, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. God speaks very strongly against lying, and that means lying in every form. And that's what we're going to be looking at a little bit later on, the different forms of lying. Because there is such a thing as respectable lying, isn't it? Well, people live like there's such a thing as respectable lying. Now, there is no such a thing in God's sight. He doesn't say, I hate those harsh, evil liars, but the good liars, they're okay. That's not how God puts it to us. In fact, in Revelation 21, verse 8, where he talks about the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth forever. And so God has a very great hatred for lying, and therefore it's an encouragement to us to remember that and to think, Lord, please help me not to lie. Lord, please help me to speak the truth. Lord, please help me to have this policy of total honesty at all times. And so he says, wherefore putting away lying, verse 25 back in Ephesians, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour. So we know God hates lying, therefore we can understand that he loves the truth. He loves for his people to speak the truth. All right, speaking every man truth. If lies are an abomination, then obviously God loves truth in his own children. And that means no white lies. And we've heard that term. Well, that was just a white lie. No, all lies are black by God's definition. God loves only the truth. He doesn't condone white lies. And so we need to have a policy of total honesty. Putting away lying, that's the thing we're to stop doing, that's the negative. The positive is now to speak every man truth with his neighbour. And again, because of the unity we have, because we are members one of another, because we are all part of the body of Christ, and Christ himself is truth, remember he is the truth, then we are to reflect his person, and we are to speak the truth one with another. Now what I want to look at just for a few moments is this idea of lying and different forms of lying. You say, I thought all lies were the same. Well, they are at the end of the day. God views them all the same. But sometimes if we're not careful, we can excuse things which are lies. And so that's what I want to just make sure we're not doing that. Different forms of lying. And it doesn't have to be just words. You know, many people today lie on their income tax form, for example. So how do they lie? By putting wrong information. That's called lie, you know. And so we would say cheat on their income tax, but that's, nevertheless, it's lying. It's a form of lying. It's not, they don't stand up there before the taxation commission and say, well, I put this and that and that and that and that and tell lies in the sense of verbally talking to the commissioner, but by their submitted tax return, then they are lying. And sadly, there are plenty of accountants out there who will encourage that. Now, they do it on the basis they're trying to help their clients get the best return they can. You say, how do you know that? Because I've been in that situation in the past. I know that's what they do. Not every accountant does that. But why? Because that's acceptable. You see, that's okay. You're allowed to do that. That's fine. That kind of lying's okay. Because, I mean, the government get enough anyway, don't they? I mean, they get plenty of taxes. So the least we can do is kind of get a little bit back from them. But it's lying. It's a form of lying, and God says he hates that. He says it's abomination to him. Speak every man truth with his neighbour. Exaggerations. Now we've spoken of this in time past, I'm sure. Exaggerations are lies. Now fishermen need to be careful here. Well, we just caught this fish. How big was it? Oh, it was easily this big, you know. How big was it? Well, it was, you sure it was that big? Well, I'm pretty sure it was that big. I mean, when I stood alongside it, it was nearly up to my shoulder. You know, how many did you catch? Oh, we caught a few. Only caught one, little one, and threw it back, but it's all lying, you see. But that's kind of acceptable. We expect fishermen to tell little lies like that. We expect them to say, well, you know, how big was the fish? Oh, well, most fishermen don't go, well, I think it was probably that big. Usually they go, well, I think it was that big. And the story, you know how it grows? You ever notice that? Some fishermen, not all, but some fishermen, the fish, by the time they've told the story 10 times, it was just about a whale. It was one of the biggest fish they've ever seen in their lives. Unbelievable size. Just because they've only ever caught two and they're both small. One was bigger than the other, you know. But exaggerations are still lies. Speak the truth. The truth is, well, what is the truth? Well, the truth is it was that big if we're talking fish. Okay, well, let's keep it at that. The truth is it was that big. We want to try and give the impression we've done just that little bit better, don't we? So, well, it was kind of that big. No, it was that big. So exaggerations, that along with income tax cheating, exaggerations are an acceptable, respectable form of lying. We expect people are going to do that. I mean, that's what people do. They exaggerate a little bit. But look, don't get too hard on them. Well, God's already been hard on them. He says, I find that lying is an abomination. He says, it's something that I hate. So there's different forms of lying. They're all lies. Others will be something along the lines of, if I say I'm going to do something and then I don't do it, guess what? I've lied. Yeah, well, tomorrow I'm going to take you, whatever, take you fishing. And we don't go fishing. Now, unless there's been some reason why we don't go fishing, then what I said was a lie. And we need to backtrack and correct that. You say, well, at the time, I we know that. We know at the time. But what we have to understand is that if I've said I'm going to do something and then I don't follow through and do it, I've lied. Would that be right? Am I correct? Am I logic straight here? I mean, you're looking kind of, Pastor, I don't know whether I like this. But that's the truth. The truth is we've lied. If we've said we're going to do something and we don't follow through. Oh, look, I'll give you a ring. And you don't ring the person. Well, you've lied to them. Whatever the thing is. You know, I'll send you something. And you don't send it. We've lied. In other words, the point I'm making is if I say I'm going to do something and I don't follow through with that thing, then I've lied. Need to go back and correct it. Need to put that right. And not just put it to one side. So, oh, well, you know. Because one of the biggest problems we have when we come to face our own situation of whether or not we've lied is the ability we have to justify it. You ever find that? You ever find yourself in that position? You have a tremendous ability to justify a lie. And we'll look at some of those situations in a minute. But it's so easy to do it, isn't it? I mean, after a while, it just rolls off the tongue. You know, we just have that ability to, well, you know, when I said it was that big, I mean, oh, I was only joking. Just slipped out from underneath. Instead of saying I was only lying, well, I was only joking if someone pulls us up on it. Oh, well, I was only joking, come on. Yeah, you know, we all do that. And everybody goes, oh, yes, of course. Because we all accept that's what you do. Or if someone comes and says, you said you were going to do thus and such. Oh, yeah, well, look, you know, the phone rang and this happened and that happened and this happened. And instead of saying, no, you're right, I didn't do what I said I was going to do. Now, again, there can be extenuating circumstances. I understand that, and that's all to be taken into account. We're not talking about those situations. We're talking about those things where we say we're going to do something, and we don't do it. Someone picks us up, and then we just rolls off the tongue why we didn't do it. Well, I didn't do this. I had this happen, that happened, that. But what we've done is we've reinforced the lie, which is even worse. Instead of, you know, we have this ability to justify, instead of owning up and say, no, you've got me. It's hard to do that, isn't it? You ever find that hard? It's hard to put your hand up and say, you're right. I didn't tell the truth. It's far easier to say, oh, well, it was a joke, or it was this, or it was that, or something or other else. But the Lord says, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Putting away lying, stop the lying. Yes, you've caught me. You've caught me. And speak truth. Another form of lying is when we tell a story, relate some sort of an incident or story, and we don't tell all of it. What we tell is correct to a point, but at that point we start to lie. Because we don't tell the rest of the story, and the person hearing it comes to a particular conclusion. The problem is they've come to the wrong conclusion. Understand where I'm at? In other words, I tell a story, and I can't think of one offhand, but I tell a story, and I just give you little bits and pieces of the story enough to, if you were to verify that, check up on me, you'd find that what I told you was the truth. But the part I didn't tell you is where the problem lies. I didn't tell you certain things, and as a result of the not telling you those things, you came up to a wrong conclusion. It might be, for example, I would say to my wife, I'll use me as an example, I might say to my wife, she would say, what did you do, yesterday? Oh, well, I went out and visited Mrs. Shepherd and with Brother Jim. And, all right, you had a good time? Oh, terrible. No, we had a good time there. And just a blessing to be able to spend time with them. Oh, that's good. And how long were you there? Oh, we were there for a while. And okay, yeah. And then what? Oh, well, we didn't find anybody else. So I just kind of dropped, you know, Mr. Ruffle home and... oh, okay. And my wife thinks, oh, that was good. Oh, well, yeah, that's what happened. But so she thinks, well, everything was fine. What I didn't tell her, and this isn't what happened, but what I didn't tell her is that I happened to stop off and have a coffee with a lady I'd met a couple of weeks earlier. No, this it didn't happen, okay? Yeah, I just wanted to get that straight. Cross my heart and hope to die. But you understand what I'm trying to get across. In other words, my wife thinks, oh, that's okay, everything was fine. But if she'd known the other bit about the coffee that I'd had with someone, she might not have thought it was fine. Yeah? In other words, what I told her was the truth to a point, but I didn't tell her the whole story. And she then arrived at a wrong conclusion. Right to that point, but ultimately a wrong conclusion. Now we need to be careful. You say, well, I did tell the truth. I told the truth. Yeah, you told the truth to that point. But the bit you didn't tell, finished up, the truth you told was really a lie. Because you were lying. You were covering up the fact, or I was let's say that was the case, I was covering up the fact that I was having coffee with another lady and I knew my wife wouldn't have liked that idea. So I didn't let her know. Wise. You see what we're saying? In other words, we have to be careful that we don't trick ourselves into thinking, well, I'll put my hand, I always speak the truth. But if we've done that, in other words, if we've told a story, whatever the situation is about, and we've left the other person thinking certain things which are not right conclusions, then we have lied. And the Bible says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth. Speak the whole truth. And so there's another form of lying. So we've got, you know, cheating on income tax. We've got exaggerations. We've got things that I say I do, don't follow through. And we've got things which I tell part of the story, gets the wrong conclusion. But we need to understand that God doesn't like that, does he? You say, how do you know that? Well, the Bible tells he hates lying. But if you look in Acts chapter 5, you don't need to go there, you know the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They're a classic illustration of what I've just been saying. I didn't need to put that bit about me having coffee. I could have left that out. You go to the scriptures, and Ananias and Sapphira owned some land which they sold and gave the proceeds to the apostles, laid at the apostles' feet. But what they did, they kept back part of the money, but gave the impression to everybody they'd given all the money to the Lord. And Peter called up Ananias and said, Ananias, while it was in thy care, you could have done what you like with the money, but now you have lied to God. He said, didn't he lie to everybody? He lied to everybody else as well. But he lied, because every lie primarily, first of all, is against God. Ananias lied to God because he left people thinking that he'd given all the money to the church, to the apostles to use. And so he had lied. Yeah, but wasn't he allowed to keep some of the money back? He was. But he gave the impression that he'd given it all. See, when we give the wrong impression to someone, we've lied. And so God said, Ananias, killed him on the spot. Sapphira comes in, same thing, same story, killed her on the spot. The Bible says great fear came upon them, as it ought to. Now thank God, he doesn't go every time you and I do that sort of thing, if in fact we do it. But we need to be careful of those things. Wherefore, putting away lying, don't do that. Tell the whole story. Now here's where we get to why we justify and why we think these lies are okay. Why don't we tell the whole story? Why didn't Ananias and Sapphira tell the whole story? Why? Because they wanted to give the impression that they were better than what they really were. Sometimes we tell lies because we want to give the impression to other people that we're more than what we really are. We're more spiritual, or we're more, maybe in their case, more giving. Or whatever it is, but we want to give the impression, in other words, we're doing it to make ourselves look good. We need to be careful. You say, well, a lot of people do that. You know, they tell you this and they did that, and you ask them, what did you do there? Well, I did this and that. And you can read stories. I was reading this story about this fellow who used to lie about his sales that he made. He was a salesman. He used to lie about it. Give the idea that he was one of their top salesmen in the company he's worked for. His wife didn't have any idea. She just thought, boy, he's, you know, that's great, isn't it? he's making all these sales. and just doing a wonderful job. But she got a little concerned for different reasons about whether or not he was really making all these sales. And so she decided to ring up the company and ask them about it. She rang up and got the sales manager and said who she was. She just wondering about how her husband had been performing. He said, "Oh, your husband?" She said, "Yes." He said, "Oh, he got the sack 6 weeks ago for poor sales records." Oh, when he got home, needless to say, there was a problem. But he was lying to her. Why? How foolish. To make himself look good. He didn't want to admit that he just wasn't such the big salesman that his wife thought he was. Why did Ananias and Sapphira lie? Because they wanted everybody in the church to think, boy, they're just, imagine giving all that money to the Lord. I wish I could be a good giver like them. Oh, don't be a giver like them, God will kill you too. And so these kind of lies, they can be very respectable and very easy to justify. See, well, I don't want my wife to think badly of me, so I tell her what a great salesman I am. Now, once I've told her that, I've got a problem, so I'm going to have to keep telling her that or come clean and say, "I've lied." What are we going to do? Oftentimes, people keep lying and hope somehow some miracle is going to happen to change it all. And then they would say, "See, I was right after all." For that man, it was a disaster. His wife found out 6 weeks ago he was put off because he was such a poor salesman. And so, you know, we have to be careful. So certain lies are okay. That would be okay. I mean, they're nice and far. After all, they did give to the Lord, and what was theirs to keep back was okay. It was theirs. Yes, true. That's true. But it was why they kept it back, that where the problem lay. So sometimes people do that. In other words, to make themselves look good or to get themselves out of trouble. The salesman was doing that. He was trying to keep himself out of trouble with his wife, trying to let his wife think he was something that he wasn't. And so he kept lying to keep himself out of trouble now. Now he's lied about it, and he's going to be in trouble if he's found out, so he's going to keep lying about it. Now, the best thing he could have done was change his job or started getting some more sales, but he didn't do either. But he justified it. That's the point I make. Very easy to justify it. Well, you know, and I'm sure that fellow, if we could have got inside his head, he would have been thinking, any day now I'm going to get a big sale and it's going to solve all my problems. It'll all work out fine in the end. I might be lying a little bit at the moment, but it'll be all right. It'll be fine. It wasn't fine. It didn't work out fine. Respectable lying, that we do that to make ourselves look good, or we do that to keep ourselves out of trouble. Now we've told the first one. Sometimes when we lie because we don't want to get into an argument with someone. Ever been there? We lie. We don't want to get in an argument, so we. Number one, we'll completely avoid the thing altogether. We won't even talk about it. Right, we won't even discuss the issue because we know if we do, there's going to be an argument, and so we won't talk about it. But remember what our policy was? Total honesty. Sometimes silence can be a lie. Okay? Sometimes silence. By being silent, I'm really lying. Because there's something that needs to be dealt with. But because I don't want to, and this is how I justify it, you see. This is how I say this is a respectable lie. This kind of lying is in order. It's okay. Because I don't want to get an argument. And so therefore it must be all right. Surely that must be all right. But Pastor, surely that kind of thing's all right. I mean, it's not even a lie, really. I mean, it's not a lie. I'm just avoiding the argument. No, total honesty says that was a lie. My silence was a lie. Other times we can tell lies because and this is how we justify it, and it's all very spiritual and it's all very right. We say, "Well, I didn't want the other person to get hurt. I mean, if I told them that, I mean, they'd be just upset, and I didn't want to upset them."
And that's good, isn't it? I mean, isn't that good? That's very spiritual. That's, boy, what a caring person. The problem is we've lied. The problem is we've lied, but I was just protecting them. I didn't want them to get hurt. And so we continue on. But we have lied. There's no justification for any form of lying. You say, how do you know about these parts? Because I've been guilty of every one of them, sooner or later. But there's no excuse for them. Remember what he says, putting away. God doesn't even say, oh Lord. He doesn't even say, pray this prayer. Oh Lord, please take away my lying. It's not what he says, is it? He doesn't say, pray Lord, take away my lying. He says, stop lying. Put away lying. Stop doing it. Well, that doesn't sound very spiritual, Lord, but lying's not very spiritual either. Now, I agree we ought to pray. Lord, please help me to speak the truth. Lord, please help me to have a total honesty policy. Lord, please help me never to lie, whether it be on my income tax or through exaggeration or saying I'll do something I'm not doing, or whether I do it through a part of a story which leads someone astray, or whether it's just trying to protect someone, or whether it's trying to get out of trouble, or whether it's, you know, I could argue, for example, go back to my illustration. I've just had a cup of coffee with a lady down the road. It was out in the middle of a cafe, and everybody saw me there, and I waved to everybody. There was nothing hidden, nothing wrong about it. It was all above board, and so I did, and I go home, but I don't say anything about it. Well, I don't want to hurt my wife because I know she'll get offended. She'll say, "What are you doing, Evan? What are you doing having coffee with another lady?" And how old was she? Oh, she's about 35. Was she good looking? Oh, very attractive. And was she married? No, she's not married. But she's a very spiritual lady. I mean, she there was nothing funny happened. And that would be what I'd expect. So rather than tell my wife, I wouldn't tell her that because that might hurt her. And I could convince her later on because I could call up all the witnesses who were there at the time and say, no, nothing happened. And we watched him and, you know, you could see he was just had a coffee, they were sitting laid back, nothing going on. And try and comfort her and help her. But I didn't tell her because I didn't want it hurt her. Well, honesty. Total honesty, things we don't say, if we don't say them, then we're not totally honest, so we've lied. You say, Pastor, you're getting to the point where you say we should be honest about everything. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Good point. Totally honest about everything. But that could cause some problems. If you've got a few lies in the past to clear up, it could, yeah. But once you've cleared it up and then live by that policy, it doesn't cause problems at all. Because the truth sets you free. It sets you free. When you're telling lies, take that salesman again for a minute. Imagine how he would have felt. Always on edge in case his wife found out about the sales that weren't there. So he could never be really relaxed with his wife, or if someone from his work was around, he'd have to be especially careful in case they let the cat out of the bag that he wasn't getting all those sales. He's in bondage. He's in total bondage. He would have been far better off to say, "Dear, I've lied to you. I'm their worst salesperson, and the boss has told me in 2 weeks if I don't improve, I'll lose my job. But I don't want to hurt her, because she'd worry if I told her that." You might have some hope of dealing with it. Because now, how does she feel now, 6 weeks later, when she's found out you got the sack? Would have been a lot better to tell her 8 weeks ago and said, 2 weeks' time, that's the limit, or I'm out. Could you pray for me that a miracle happened? Because the way things are going, I'm going to lose the job. You see, honesty, total honesty. It doesn't do away with problems. It doesn't avoid potential problems. But what it does, it gives you some hope of resolving those in a way that is pleasing to God. And the truth sets you free. I never have to look over my shoulder and find out if someone's coming who might blow my cover. I never have to keep the cupboard door locked because there's some skeletons in there that I just don't want them to pop out. Because if they come out, Oh, my cover will be blown and it will be known that I've lied. So keep the cupboard door open, no skeletons. Speak the truth. Now, one other thing. Verse 15 says, speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. That doesn't mean I come up to someone. And let's say we could find the ugliest person we've ever seen. Wouldn't be too hard looking around here. Just imagine, you go up to the ugliest person you've ever seen. You walk up and say, you know what? You're the ugliest person. Well, that's the truth. Just try. Kind of tickle my fancy, though. Just trying to work out quickly how I could do that in love. You say, Pastor, you just said be truthful about everything. Did they ask you whether they're ugly or not? Don't raise it if they didn't. If they ask you, what do you do then? Be very wise, be very prayed up, and speak the truth in love. Say, maybe I need to get off that. I think you understand what I'm saying. There are times when we don't need to say anything, and by saying nothing isn't lying. It's not lying. It wouldn't be right to go and say, you're the ugliest person I've ever seen. Sorry, I had to tell you that. I still love you. Person says, oh, thanks very much. I love you too, yeah. But speaking the truth in love. In love. When I speak to the other person and I'm telling them the truth. Because see, some people just say, when it comes, you know, say, I always speak the truth. Oh, praise the Lord. I just tell it as it is. I just let them have it. I used to think that was a good idea one time. Just let them have it. But that's not a good idea. You said, but you, hang on, Pastor, you speak the truth. Yeah, in love. In love. How does the other person feel on the end of that truth you've just told them? Now, if you've lied about something, they're not going to feel good. If you lie about something you've done or whatever, they're not going to feel good about that. But if you're sharing some truth with them that's going to be helpful to them. But you say, well, I won't do that because that might get them mad. No, no, no. Share it with them, but make sure you do it in love. So when they get it, they understand that you've spoken in a way that you're concerned for them and you're trying to help them and be a blessing to them. Not, here's the truth, buddy. Now, don't do that. Speak the truth in love. How does the other person feel on the other end of it? This truth you've just told them, how do they feel? Now, if I've done something like that salesman, then they're going to feel bad. I understand that. But go to another situation where I've just had to tell someone the truth about a situation. How do they feel? Do they feel that I was just ramming it down their throat? Because this is the truth. Or do they feel that, boy, that would have taken something to come and tell me that. I'm thankful they did. Is that how they feel? Then we can say we've done both. We've spoken the truth and we've spoken the truth in love. And that's what God wants us to do. Speaking the truth in love. Put away lying, speak every man truth in love with his neighbour. Now, let's go back to my first question. I wonder how many of us could put up a hand and say, I always speak the truth. I don't want you to put up your hand. You put up before the Lord. I always speak the truth. You say, well, I always try to. Oh, that's a different matter. That's okay. But do we always speak the truth? Well, I'm working at it. I'm praying that God will help me to speak. And this morning maybe God said some things to us And it's kind of been a little bit light in some ways, but maybe God said, hey, here's an area that you haven't been speaking the truth. You haven't been speaking the truth. Your silence, or your half story, or your exaggeration, or whatever, it wasn't the truth. You need to deal with that. And if that's the case, then let me encourage you to deal with that. And let me suggest in closing a good prayer from Psalm 120 verse 2, which says this: deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. That'd be a good prayer, wouldn't it? Lord, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Lord, help my policy to be honesty only, total honesty before God and before man. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and Lord, we're thankful for the time this morning we've been able to share together, and Lord, just to look at things that are very important to you, Lord, because we know you hate, yea, even lying is an abomination to you. And so we pray, Lord, you'd help us just to search our own hearts, and Lord, to decide before you to put away lying and to speak the truth, and to speak it in love, to have a total honesty policy in our lives. And then, Father, maybe there's some of us, Lord, we need to just face up to the fact there's been some areas that we've lied about in our lives, and we've touched on different areas this morning. But there's something we need to deal with, and, Lord, that you would give us the grace to do that. For we know, Lord, the truth sets us free. Lord, deliver us from justifying ourselves, and deliver us from those kind of things, Lord, that really foster and encourage lying. Lord, help us to be open and transparent before you and before others. And Lord, then that truth, the truth sets us free. And then as the sun sets us free, we are free indeed. And Father, we thank you for that. Just while our eyes are closed, heads bowed, maybe the Lord's spoken to you about something this morning. You need to deal with that. We're not going to prolong an invitation or anything. You say, Pastor, could you pray for me? God spoke to my heart about something. I've been lying. I call it what it is. There's been an area that I've lied about. I need to deal with it. Pray that God will give me the grace to do that. Anybody at all, as we just close out. Yes, I see your hand. Lord bless you. Yes, your hand. Yes, I see your hand. Lord bless you. I've lied about something. It wasn't deliberate perhaps, but now I realise what it was. It was a lie. I need to deal with it. May God give me the grace. Yes, I see your hand. Father, I do pray for those in particular who raised their hand, Lord, that you would now give them the grace, Lord, to follow through and deal with, Lord, that which you've pointed out is a lie in their life, whether it's something they said, haven't said, half said, whatever it is, that, Lord, that you would help them to deal with that as you would have them deal with it. And then, Father, again, I pray that you'd help each one of us, Lord, to have that policy of total honesty, Lord, to speak the truth, every man with his neighbour, and to speak it in love, for we are members one of another. And then, Lord, in doing that, we would reflect the person of our Lord Jesus, the one who is the truth. So we give you thanks and praise now in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.